Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we further explore the cost of following Jesus, that he seeks our all. First, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who dwells with us and in us, your people, to comfort, lead, and teach us your will. Please would you speak to us this day so that we may hear clearly and then set our hearts to live for you, in all this seeking to glorify your precious name. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 verse 51 to 62, and I'm reading from the NIV. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and always. Talking about the cost of following Jesus, an expensive journey, our reading begins with Jesus having one clear thing in mind, and that was to go to Jerusalem. The statement, "the time had come for him," that is Jesus, "to be taken up into heaven," simply refers to his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. He was set on making his way to Jerusalem to face the opposition that would be waiting for him once there. So he sent messengers ahead to Samaria to make certain preparations in anticipation of the Passover. But they were rejected by the community, not because they were Galileans, but because they were passing through to Jerusalem. James and John, sons of Zebedee, then asked Jesus if they should call down fire from heaven on the townsfolk in response to their rejection of the messengers. Remembering perhaps the incident where Elijah twice calls down fire on a captain and 50 men who were sent by Ahaziah, king of Israel, in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. But Jesus rebukes them for being so out of step with God's Spirit. Now, the balance of our reading, which is the focus of our discussion, is paralleled in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 to 22, but Matthew excludes the third person who wanted to say farewell to his family. Also of interest in the parallel in Matthew, the certain man who approached Jesus is identified as a scribe, while Luke speaks of three different people who present Jesus with reasons why they can't immediately follow him. Nevertheless, in these encounters, what is being made clear by Jesus is that to follow him, total commitment was expected. As such, each of these three cases of would-be disciples highlight the demands of following Jesus, whose face is set towards Jerusalem and the cross. The call to discipleship is specifically set against creature comforts, family duty, and family love. It is the case that many people are willing to follow Jesus until they find out just what is involved, and afterwards they tend to make themselves scarce. But it is right that those responding to the call of Jesus to salvation and service are properly informed of what life will be like as a servant of Christ, and what level of commitment is expected, not by the church, but by Jesus himself. This will quickly cause those who respond emotionally or impulsively, or for any other reason than a true work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, to withdraw, and so make discipleship a joy as sheep are carefully tended in Jesus' name, while the time-consuming and joyless effort of trying to care for goats will be avoided. Let's see then what Jesus had to say to these three people who declared an interest in following and serving him. First, Jesus spoke of the homelessness of the Son of Man, and so also the possibility of this being the lot of his followers. This in response to the man who had approached and wanted to follow wherever they were going. Jesus' statement about being without a fixed abode was to say that if a person desired to follow him, they need to be willing to give up what others consider to be necessities. Now, since many friends did provide for the material needs of Jesus, the saying also refers to his being generally rejected by the people. That is, no one was willing to offer hospitality to him. Thus he had nowhere to lay his head. Next, Jesus called the second man with the same words with which he had called his disciples, saying, "Follow me." The man's reply was that he first wanted to go and bury his father, and this has been interpreted in different ways. Some think that the man's father was dead already. If this was the case, it would seem strange, for he would certainly have been engaged in the burial procedure already. It is more likely that the man's father was close to death. How close, we cannot know. But if this was the case, his request was that he be allowed to wait just a little while longer before following Jesus. Perhaps the man also wanted to receive the inheritance from his father's estate, but this is not clear at all. Some have also suggested that Jesus actually meant, "Leave the dead to the burier of the dead." That is to say, there are people whose professional work it is to bury the dead. They can be left to look after this business, but there is more important work for you to do. Yet others think that Jesus' response, "Let the dead bury their own dead," implied that the spiritually dead should rather bury the physically dead. Ultimately, the point that Jesus was making by saying this was that proclaiming the kingdom of God was so important that it could not wait. Of course, if the man had left and followed Jesus, it would have caused a scandal in the community, since culturally, burial duties superseded all other obligations. Nevertheless, in the view of Jesus, that was less important than proclaiming the kingdom and following the Messiah. A disciple must make a radical commitment. Thirdly and finally, there can be no turning back in the service of Jesus any more than a backward-looking ploughman can expect to plough a straight furrow. This Jesus said to the third man who simply wanted to go home and say goodbye to his family. Elijah had allowed Elisha to do this very thing when Elisha was ploughing in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 20. Jesus' words underscore the fact that his message of the kingdom of God was more important than anything else, even family members. The message and the Messiah cannot wait. Jesus' message was more important than Elijah's message and demanded total allegiance. And so the servants of Jesus should not have divided interests, meaning they should not treat their discipleship as an extracurricular activity. Else, like a farmer who begins ploughing and then looks back, they will not have a vital and secure faith. Interestingly, Luke did not record the outcome of any of Jesus' conversations with these three men. In all of this, we are left with the distinct impression that Jesus would lay claim to our lives and our service. The costs of following Jesus are very real to the Christian who is willing to serve him wholeheartedly and bear their own cross on the way. In the final analysis, we really discover that Jesus emphasizes the demands, priorities, and importance of God's kingdom program. And we are left in no doubt as to what is expected. Not only that, but also the rich rewards of staying the course, because there is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen. Let's pray. O God, help us to renew our resolve and walk now in the courage you give us to serve you wholeheartedly. Fill us, we pray, with your Spirit and renew us with your life, that our service will be true, our love real, and our all yours alone. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.